BBC Audio presents Anglo-Saxon Portraits, a series featuring groundbreaking Anglo-Saxon men and women from the era between 550 and 1066 AD. Vortigern, presented by Professor Barry Cunliffe.
Vortigern, the proud tyrant as he was called, is one of the few Britons known to us by name in that shadowy period of transition between the end of Roman rule, soon after AD 400, and the consolidation of the first Anglo-Saxon kingdoms in the early 6th century. It was a century of confusion, a time of systems collapse, of plague, and of massive population mobility, with communities, both native and immigrant, fighting for their survival. In such times, reliable narrative histories are seldom written, and 5th century Britain is no exception. Yet Vortigern emerges as a real person in this crucial moment of change at the opening of the Anglo-Saxon period, when legend gives way to history. The earliest source to mention our subject, Vortigern, is Gildas, a northerner by birth who spent his later life in a religious community in South Wales, where sometime around AD 540 he wrote a remarkable polemic, De Exidio Britanniae, on the ruin of Britain, in which, in vivid language, he bewails the recent fate of his country. The work begins with an outline of British history and proceeds to two long sections which castigate the British kings and the British clergy, who, he believes, have strayed from the ways of the godly. Britain has kings, but they are tyrants. She has judges, but they are wicked. They often plunder and terrorise the innocent. They defend and protect the guilty, the thieving. They have many wives, whores and adulteresses. They constantly swear false oaths. They wage wars, civil and unjust. It's just a taste of his robust rhetoric. Because of the sins of the British elite, Gildas says, God brings down calamities on the island. There is plague, and worst of all, invasion by the Picts from the north and the Scots coming at this time from Ireland. The Britons appeal to Rome for help, but none arrives. It is at this point that Vortigern appears in the narrative. He is referred to not by name, but as Superbus Tyrannus, the proud tyrant. This is Gildas playing with words. Vortigern means supreme lord, and indeed, in later sources, he is referred to by his proper name. Now, according to Gildas, Vortigern convened a council to decide what to do to counter the barbarian attacks, and the decision was taken to invite in Saxons from across the North Sea to aid the British resistance. Gildas leaves us in no doubt of his own opinion. They devised for our land that ferocious Saxons, hated by man and God, should be let into the island like wolves into the fold. Nothing more destructive, nothing more bitter has ever befallen the land. How utter the blindness of their minds, how desperate and crass their stupidity. He then goes on to tell us that 3 shiploads of Saxons arrived in the east and were provided with land and monthly supplies, but they demanded more and eventually rebelled, inviting in more of their fellow countrymen, until the impious easterners, as he says, rampaged across the country, causing havoc in their wake. Here, Gildas' purple prose reaches a crescendo as he describes the fate of the towns. In the middle of the squares, the foundation stones of high walls, and towers torn from their lofty base, holy altars, fragments of corpses covered with a purple crust of congealed blood, looked as though they had been mixed up in some dreadful winepress. Another text, the Kentish Chronicle, gives additional information. The 3 ships which arrived were led by the legendary Hengist and Horsa, and Vortigern settled them on the island of Thanet, the eastern extremity of Kent. At first, relationships were cordial, and Vortigern married Hengist's daughter. After this, he agreed to allow Hengist to bring in more of his countrymen, and all this was done by negotiation and consent. So what can we make of these early histories? Well, given that they were written sometime after the events and relied on oral memory,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?